Turn your Bibles, we'll go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, as we continue a consideration of these two words in the Scripture, I am. Tell you what, there's a lot in this. The Lord revealing Himself unto Moses, saying, I am that I am, hath sent thee. Tell that to the children of Israel when they say, when they ask, who sent you? That was what the Lord told Moses to say. And we took a look a little bit of what the Lord Jesus said, that He is, I am come. And we've taken a look at others, and we're going to take a look at this morning. And I pray it'll be a blessing and a help to each one here. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 26, the Scripture says, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. The Lord has been working miracles. He has healed the man earlier in this chapter that was born of four, sick of the palsy, that they lowered down through the roof. And the Lord healed him. And he, Carrie, picked up his bed and walked home with his bed. He calls some of his disciples, Matthew, namely here, verse number 9, to follow him. And then they question the religious leadership and elite of the day, the Pharisees. They question about why the Lord eats with sinners, publicans, tax collectors that had sold out their nation. And the Lord Jesus says in verse number 12, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. If you're here and you're not saved, but you don't see yourself as a sinner that you are, then that's what the Lord Jesus is talking about. He came to call sinners to repentance. Those that see their need before the Lord, that we are guilty, you are guilty, you're a sinner, condemned presently, and without hope, without the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on here, and they talk to the Lord. The Lord talks to them, rather, about why his disciples don't fast in comparison to John the Baptist's disciples, because the Lord is with them. And then Jairus comes and inquires of the Lord to come and heal his daughter. His daughter's at the point of death. On the way to Jairus' house, there's this woman that says, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed of this thing that I've suffered from for 12 years. And she does. And she's healed by her faith in the Lord. And then the Lord goes on to Jairus' house and he tells them in verse number 24, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. They laugh him to scorn. Why? Because she's dead. No doubt the mother has been there and felt her body glow lifeless. Maybe they had the doctor there and he checked her out and said, yeah, she's dead. They knew that she was dead. But the Lord says, the Lord's not saying she's not dead. The Lord's saying, give place. To me, she's not dead. To me, this is just sleep. And they laughed him to scorn, verse 25, but when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. Verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. We want to take a look at this, just this phrase, these few words here in verse number 28. Believe ye that I am able to do this? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, we praise your name that you've called us and to worship you. And we thank you, Father, for your salvation. We thank you, Father, for your church that you've placed us in. Lord, we thank you for your people, Lord, that you've put in your church and have built us a holy building unto you, Father. Not this building that we meet in, but Lord, your people that you've saved and put together in this church. And Lord, you've given us a call to meet together to worship you. We thank you for the way that you've blessed already in the services and your word that's been brought forth, the truth of it, for the prayers and for the singing. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we pray, Father, that you'd help us as we worship you by looking into your word. Lord, that we'd praise your name, that we'd hear you and believe you and trust you in those things that you've given unto us. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us that the things of the world and this life might be taken away from our hearts and minds, and that we just might truly render unto you the worship that you're due. Lord, we praise you for saving us, and that you are great and mighty and above all. Lord, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are Jonah's God. And Lord, you are our God. And we thank you, Father, that you revealed yourself unto us. We pray, Father, for those that are here without Christ, any that be in our midst, Father, that are not saved. Lord, we pray that you might speak to them, reveal Christ unto them, save them. Lord, they might declare it. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and honor and glory for your salvation. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Believe ye that I am able to do this? These words are posed as a question here. The Lord Jesus is saying, am I able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? These two blind men, no doubt they hear about the fame of the Lord. And in verse number 27, they're following him. How do blind men follow somebody? Well, they're listening to the crowd, and they're asking questions maybe of those that they come in contact with or there in the multitude that's following along with the Lord Jesus. He departed from that place of Jairus' house, and he's going to another place, and these men are following, and they're crying after him and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." They know, they believe that Jesus can do something. Remember, faith in the Scripture is not just talking about sheer will and grit and determination of the person, but it's talking about faith in the Lord. Faith in God and what He can do. Faith in the Lord and what He has promised. Faith in the Lord in His call. That God has said something, that the Lord Jesus has said something, and we hear it and we believe it and know that it's true to the point of acting upon it. He says, they say, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, so the Lord went to another place, these blind men came to him. They worked their way into the Lord Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Do you believe I can do this? Believe ye that I am able? They say unto him, "Yes, we do believe that you can do it. We have heard of what you've done. We have heard of how you've healed. We have heard, no doubt they had heard, how you raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Yeah, we believe." Then touched he their eyes. He reaches up and touches their eyes. These two men, blind, we don't know how long they've been blind. We don't know how old they are, but we know they're blind. And the Lord Jesus reaches up and touches them in the eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Do you believe I can do this? Yes, we do. The Lord touches them, says, "According to you, as you believe, so it be unto you." What happened? They were just as blind as they ever were, weren't they? No. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." They were healed. They had faith that the Lord could heal them. They had faith in the Lord Jesus. Not in self, not in doctors, not in the way of man. But they had faith in the man Christ Jesus that He could heal them. As He had done for others, they believed that He could do that for them. The question, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And what the Lord did with these two men, it goes from being a question to a statement, doesn't it? He is able. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am able." I am able. It starts as a question, but in the Lord, what he did for these men, it ends up as a statement. I am able. The great I am, God Almighty, God the Son, the manifestation of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, he is able. In this same chapter, and we alluded to it earlier, this man born of the four had this palsy. He can't move. He's paralyzed, in the way we would say it today. So much so that these four friends or kin or neighbors, somebody, they had faith that the Lord could help their friend or their kin or this man that was important to them. They believed that Jesus could do it. So much so that when they got to the house, they ripped up the roof because they couldn't get at the door. Let us pie. We've got our friend here on the bed. No, I'm holding my place. I want to hear what he's got to say. I want to hear what Jesus is preaching. I want to hear about this quarrel that he's got with the Pharisees and how the Pharisees challenge him and such as that. I'm holding my place. And they can't get through the door. They can't get through the window. But they know if they get their friend, their kin, this man on this bed that they've brought, if they can get him in front of Jesus, he can be healed. Because Jesus has got the power. They've got faith in the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came down and became a man. They've got faith in him that he can do this, not in themselves. So what do? The only way to go, boys, is rip off the roof. And that's what they do. Can you imagine sitting on the inside? I mean, if they started ripping somebody started ripping the roof off of this place, what would happen? Well, there'd be debris and there'd be dust and dirt and pieces and parts falling, and then it would be opened up. And they lowered that man down in front of Jesus. Let's read. In verse number 2, the Lord Jesus says to him, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Wait a minute, they brought him to be healed. Well, see, Jesus is taking care of the most important thing first. Plus, he's dealing with everybody here in this. He says, "Your sins be forgiven thee." He's dealing with that man. He's forgiven him of his sins. He's dealing with the fellows that brought him because they had faith that the Lord could do something. He's dealing with these Pharisees that are at hand at the house that doubt the Lord Jesus. See, they don't believe Jesus is anything but a troublemaker. And so they seek to have quarrel with him. And so he's dealing with them too. He says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, certain of the scribes which said within themselves, this is another group that's there, "This man blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They think in their hearts. Other accounts tell us that. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's the point. Jesus is God. You know what? You don't need anybody else. You don't need anyone else but the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You don't need any other quote-unquote saint. You don't need anybody in your family. You don't need you don't need a priest, you don't need a preacher, you don't need anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Jesus Christ and him alone. And the Lord, knowing their hearts, it says in verse 4, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Thinking that the Lord is blaspheming, that's evil. Evil thinking. "For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk?" He says, which is easier? Forgive him of his sins? I mean, for real, not just talk, but forgive him of his sins or to heal him. Which is easier? I dare say the healing is easier, isn't it? Impossible for us. But who of us, who of mankind can forgive another of their sins? And we're talking about from the eternal standpoint of righteousness before God. We can't do that. We have no ability or power. Sure, if somebody offends us or sins against us, we can forgive them for what they've done for us. But in the transgression before God, that's between the individual and God. And the Lord poses that there. He says, which is easier, to forgive him of his sins or to heal him? Listen to this. Listen. Another phrase here that's very important. "But that ye may know." This is, the Lord says, I'm going to do something here that you might know something. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." so that you might know that I'm the Savior. I'm the forgiver of sins. You want your sins forgiven? I'm the one you come to. I'm the one you deal with. But that ye may, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they say, who can forgive sins but God alone? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. You know why the Lord did the miracles? So that we may know that he's got the power to forgive sins. He said it plainly right here. Jesus did the miracles that he did during the time of his ministry that you and I might know that he is the one that can forgive sins alone. He's the Savior. That ye might know. You know, this account is included in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 2. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, take up your bed and go home. What happened to the man? He arose, verse 7, and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. In other accounts in the Gospels, it says, we've never seen it like this before. We've never seen it on this wise before. You know, also in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse number 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. That we might know that. That you might know that Jesus is the forgiver of sins. Am I able? The Lord Jesus Christ says to the men that are blind, am I able? The question gets turned into a statement. I am able, Jesus says. He is able to heal. He is able to forgive sins. In John chapter 10, we've got another scripture that we want to read relative to this, that ye may know. Look at this, what the account here that Brother John writes. In John chapter 10, verse number 33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They've got a quarrel against the Lord. They've taken up stones to stone him. And he asked them, why are you stoning me? Tell me what evil I have done. He says, well, they said, well, we're not stoning you for a good work. But we're stoning you because you blaspheme, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? And it is true. In the scripture, it is written that. And this word gods, lowercase g, is talking about authority. Mankind has been given dominion over the face of the earth. That's authority from God. We've got a directive from the Lord as mankind, just in its basic form, that we are to subdue and have dominion over all the earth, like God has dominion over all things. Ye are gods, he says. Isn't it written in there? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, okay, the word of God came to the Jews and also to the world through Israel and through his church. And the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture doesn't lie. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified? Do you say of the one that God has now put a special calling upon? The Father has put a special setting apart upon? Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world? Thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? You say, and I'm blaspheming? The Lord has said that mankind has dominion. And then there's me that the Father has sent to do this special and perfect work of salvation of sinners and redemption of sinners. You say that I'm wrong because I said I'm the Son of God? He says, listen to this, verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. If what I do doesn't jibe with the power and work of God Almighty, the Father, then don't believe me. Verse 38. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. What's it say, verse 38? But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, what the Lord Jesus did, listen, that ye may know. That ye may not only know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. I am able, the Lord Jesus Christ says. He posed that as a question to these men, but it ends up as a statement that the Lord did all the healing, all the things, all the miracles that he did, that we might know he is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. And that we might know that that is the case and believe that he is of the Father, the Savior of the world. In Matthew chapter 26, we take a look over here, and along this theme of I am able, they have the Lord Jesus. It's at the time of his crucifixion. And in verse number, we'll come down here to verse number 61, an accusation of the Lord's declared ability, an accusation of the Lord's declared ability. The Lord Jesus is upon the cross. He's there before the Sanhedrin, before the cross. And there at night, at the mock trial that they have, is a false trial. It wasn't anything honest about it at all. And they say, they accuse the Lord Jesus in this, in verse number 61 of Matthew 26, and said, this fellow, speaking of Jesus, said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Their accusation to him is that he's able, he says, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and that's they're speaking of the physical temple, and to build it in 3 days. That's what they got down to of what they could accuse him. It says in verse number 60, or verse 59, now the chief priests and elders and all the council saw false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. They couldn't get anybody to agree. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. They couldn't get two of them to jibe. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. So they got two to jibe, and the accusation is that he could tear down the temple and build it back in 3 days. Well, that's pretty weak, isn't it? And indeed it was. It was a mock trial. But in John chapter 2, we read this. In John chapter 2, we'll pick it up at verse number 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? The Lord Jesus has entered into Jerusalem early in his ministry. He's made a cord out of some leather straps, and he's taken all those money changers and those fellows that sold animals in the temple, and he's driven them out. I tell you what, the older I get, it makes me more and more ill. That's a Kentucky term. If you go further north, you would say sick. All right. But it makes me ill to see these pictures supposedly of Jesus Christ. And he's this long-haired hippie freak, a wimp, an effeminate man that is represented. And you know what? An effeminate man doesn't go into the temple in Jerusalem with a scourge of cords and drive out money changers that have guards and people that sell animals that are doing their business here. I mean, this is the high time of the year at the time of Passover. He doesn't drive them out and be a wimp. The Lord Jesus is not a wimp. That's a lie of Satan and a lie of the depravity of man to dissuade folks from understanding who Jesus is. Jesus is no wimp. Jesus came meek and lowly. You know what that means? Jesus could whip everybody in the house, but just because he could, he didn't. That's our Savior. What men of mankind could subject themselves to the death and the cruelty of the mocking and the cross that Jesus did. And not to mention the sin that he bore for his people on the cross. The answer is there is no man. But our Lord, he is a man indeed. And so they say this unto him. It said that he's driven these people out of the temple. And the Jews say unto him, verse 18, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He wasn't talking about the temple in Jerusalem, the physical temple made out of blocks and wood and all the decorations of it and such as that, and the things that were there for the service and sacrifices and the work of the Jews. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about his own body. When therefore, verse 22, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. What did he say? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The accusation that we read there in Matthew chapter 26, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Was he able? He was indeed. He gave and yielded his life on the cross of Calvary for sinners like you and me. And was he able to take his life back again? Indeed, he is. He lives forevermore because he is Jesus, the Son of God, God Almighty, come in the flesh. In Matthew chapter 11, Brother John the Baptist, he had a time. He stood for the Word of God and preached the truth of God. He was sent from the Lord to preach the coming of the Lord Jesus and that Jesus was at hand. He was sent to baptize like none other had been sent before with the authority of baptism. And Jesus did go and get that authority from him for the sake of his church. And in a sense, we read here in Matthew chapter 11, John seemingly either wanting a confirmation or maybe having doubt about the way things have gone. John has spoke up and he said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to take your brother's wife away from him and have her for yourself. It's against the law of God. And you know what? That promptly got John in prison. John was Herod was willing to observe John and liked hearing John preach and speak and such as that. But then, as you know, Herodias, the woman that he had taken from his brother Philip, Philip's wife that he'd taken to himself, she and her daughter schemed and it ended up costing John his life. He was beheaded. But John's asking a question here. Verse number 1 of Matthew 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. Listen, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The death, the gospel, the good news of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's take a look over in Luke chapter 7 also of this same account. Luke chapter 7, and we'll pick it up in verse number 19. Luke chapter 7, verse number 19. Verse 18. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things that Jesus had been doing. They told him about it. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? When the men were come unto him, they said John the Baptist hath sent us to unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities, Jesus did, and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And Jesus answering said unto them, to those two that John the Baptist had sent from prison, John's in prison, he sent two of his disciples, Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that God the Father told me about to be on the lookout for? Are you the one, or should we look for somebody else? And Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John, if you will, is saying, Are you able? Are you able? Lord, are you the one? Or do we look for somebody else? And what did the Lord say back? What was the answer back to John's disciples and then on back to John? I am able. I am able. Look at the miracles like none other has ever done. And why did Jesus do the miracles? To show that he's the Savior, that he's the one that can forgive sins. I am able. As we consider this and these words, I am able, we can go to the Scripture and we can see what our brethren say in the Scripture. And of course, we have the Scripture by the inspiration of God moving upon 40 men over the course of 1,600 years. You know, understand, the Bible is just not a happenstance or a thing of luck or some good ideas by men. The Word of God, the Scripture, is divinely inspired and breathed by God, given to us. This is God's Word from eternity to you. You, the individual. I don't say us. I say you, the individual. This is the book by which the world will be judged. This is the book by which sinners will be brought into account. This is the book that tells us the truth about us and our sin and our depravity and our need. This is the book that tells us about Jesus coming and a warning of judgment to come. And a warning that without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the judgment is reserved for those that reject the Lord as Savior, there will be none that will stand. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We take a look here, and we consider in the Scripture about what our brethren have said from the standpoint of He is able. The Lord Jesus asked at the beginning, I am able. And then by what he does, he declares that he is able. It becomes a statement rather than a question. I am able. The accusations that they had. And the Lord says, I am able. I took my life back again when I am dead. And then John the Baptist's question to the Lord Jesus, Are you able? And the Lord says, Yes, I am able. I am able. And then we consider in this from our other brethren in the Scripture, he is able. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the world at that time, brought low by the Lord, and the Lord worked on him. The Lord knew his number, didn't he? He knew how to get his attention. He knows how to get all of our attention, doesn't he? And at the time of these things that the Lord brought upon Nebuchadnezzar, if we understand it right, he was driven out to be, to operate, and to work, and to live like a beast of the field for maybe even 7 years. And then the Lord restored to him his reason. And in summary, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse number 37, Nebuchadnezzar says this, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. This man was a king of kings upon the earth, but now he has seen the King of kings, the Lord God Almighty. I extol, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. Listen, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. The Lord knows how to get your attention. I pray that He will. In Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 3, the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse number 17. Brethren, the apostle writes in this church at Philippi, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have for us an example. He says, I've been given of the Lord to you as an apostle, and follow me as I follow the Lord, and mark those others that also follow in the way of the Lord. For many walk, verse 18, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those that walk against the word of God, walk according to the course of the world rather than the way of the Lord Jesus, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, the desire of the flesh, and whose glory is in their shame. That's the best they've got. Who mind earthly things and not the things of God. For our conversation, and that word conversation, we don't use that a lot, but that's talking about our thinking and our speech and what we do. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the no-so hope of Jesus coming back for us. Listen, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. This word subdue, it's talking about being put under suggestion, under subjection, to bring all things unto Himself, as it says here. Jesus is able to bring everybody in line. Jesus will bring everybody in line. One day His kingdom is going to stand, and He will be the King of kings and Lord of lords that will rule over all. And those that have denied Him in this life will stand before Him in condemnation and judgment, and as the Scripture bears out plainly, will be cast into the lake of fire forever. You need Jesus as your Savior. And I pray, my prayer is the Lord would subdue you now. Subdue you now. He is able. The Lord Jesus says, indeed, I am able. In 2 Timothy, chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, the apostle writing to Brother Timothy, and he says, but we know that the law is good if any man use it. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy, not 1st. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, the apostle writes, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul's situation had become very bleak looking. It had been so that because Paul had been sent to Rome and the outlook of his end, that many had fled from him. And Paul had been used to having a fair-sized company, it seems, that would troop with him about going to the different churches. But it seems as if, as Paul writes here to Timothy, that knowing the Apostle Paul and being in his company and being near him had fallen out of vogue. It wasn't good to be near the Apostle Paul. He's a man that had even stirred the ire of Nero. Wasn't good to be around him. And Paul writes Timothy, he said, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of my testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me in being a prisoner. He says here in verse number 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, what we have done, but according to His own purpose and grace, the good favor of God upon the sinner. Is the Lord calling you? Which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began, even what the Lord was doing before time began for the sinner, but is now made manifest here in time. It's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ became a man and lived and at 33 years old, gave himself on the cross of Calvary for me. For me. I'm the only one that I really know about. You're the only one that you really know about. You understand that? Did Jesus die for you? He died for me. He died for me because he loved me. Not because there's anything I've got to offer God, but because he loved me, he died for me. Because I'm the sinner that needs saving. I'm the sinner that needed rescue from hell. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying too. He says, but is now made manifest, verse 10, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. He rose from the dead that I might live. I don't have to die. Oh, yeah, this old physical body's going to die. But spiritually, I live forevermore. If you're here and saved, you have everlasting life now. You will live forevermore. But without Christ, your body will die. And then your spirit will die in that lake of fire, in hell, in the lake of fire forever. Born twice, die once. Born once, die twice. He goes on to say here, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light, again, through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, the apostle says about himself, an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Thank the Lord for that. We are Gentiles. We've received of that blessing. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able. That's the testimony of the apostle, that the Lord Jesus is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The call of the Lord came, the apostle said, and I heard. And I trusted the Lord Jesus. He has saved my soul. He has visited me and rescued me. And he is able to take me to him. He is able and faithful to eternity. He is able. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, the brethren testify that he is able to abase anyone. He is able to break down anyone and show them their need, show them the Savior, show them the salvation of the Lord. He is able to subdue all things under himself. He's able, he's the King. He's able to keep us. He's able to keep us who have trusted in Christ. Faith is based on the Lord, not on what we can do, not on what we can accomplish, but faith in the Lord Jesus. And then here, speaking about the Lord Jesus and being a suffering Savior, he suffered not for himself, but for me. And the apostle writes in verse number 17 of Hebrews 2, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And that reference to brethren is talking about us. We are saved. Jesus was made like us, a man, yet without sin, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He became a man so he might understand and know what it is to be a man. We're not talking about somebody that's off a million miles away that just doesn't get it. But Jesus knows what it is to be tempted. Jesus knows what it is to be tried. Jesus knows what it is to bear sin. He's not a sinner, but he has bore our sin. Jesus knows what it is to be loaded down with burden and care. Jesus knows. And he's able to do what? For in that he himself, verse 18, has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor, we don't use that word, but you know what it means? He is able to aid us. He is able to help us. He is able to relieve us. lost sinner friend, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you've got a burden of sin that's killing you, and Jesus is able to relieve you of that burden. Jesus is able to relieve you of that condemnation. Jesus is able to relieve you of that death that is surely upon you. Jesus is able. And then in closing, in Hebrews chapter 7, listen very closely to this. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22, speaking about Jesus being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, an everlasting priesthood, not one that would be tied to men. My grandfather is dead. My great-grandfather is dead. My father will one day die. I will one day die. My son will one day die. With men, things do not continue. But with the Lord Jesus, who is life, who is immortal, who is the everlasting Savior and the everlasting God, who is our everlasting High Priest, this whole affair of salvation of sinners and the rescue of the Lord's people and the salvation of sinners and the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life and a home in glory with the Lord, it'll keep on going just as long as Jesus does. And I got news for you. He died once, and He's alive forevermore. Here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety, earnest. You put earnest money down on something you're going to buy so you can go get the rest of the money and come back and finish it off, right? By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Men die. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. There's not anybody in line to become the priest after Jesus. It starts and ends with him. Because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Listen, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He is able to save. I am able. I am able. The Lord starts off asking the question, I'm able to do what you want, he says to the blind man. After he does it, it becomes rather a statement, I am able. The Lord was accused about his ability to destroy the temple. He was talking about his own earthly body. He was able. I am able. He took his life back from the dead. John the Baptist sends the question, are you able? And the Lord says, I am able. Not a question, but a statement. And then our brethren say that the Lord is able to abase, he's able to subdue, he's able to keep, he's able to help and relieve, and he is able to save. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I am able.